This is Mae Brussel, and this is side two of tape number 738 of World Watchers. Last week, I was telling you about the hearing that was to take place at the Board of Supervisors and about the plans to spray the part of Monterey County, just a small area, granted, a little area, with a genetically altered material. And they had 8 hours, 9 hours of hearings, and I want to share with you some material that I did this past week, thanks to another World Watcher who went to the library right away and did the early legwork, and then I went back to the library and followed up with a lot of this, and a lot of us went to the hearing and participated in that. In the Monterey Herald, among other quotations regarding the experiments that were to take place, I cited on the air last week a quotation from one of the people involved in this, a Mr. Stephen Cull, C-U-L-L, an employee of AGS, responding to criticism that one of the bacteria strains can cause infection in diseased weakened humans. Mr. Cull acknowledged that some strains of Pseudomonas fluorescens have been causing low-grade infections in people who have impaired immune systems. He said the strain to be used in the field experiments cannot grow in the temperature of the human body, but then later it came out that it can grow at the temperature of the human body. It was brought out the last part of the session, probably around 4 or 5 o'clock, that yes, in fact, it can grow in the human body. Well, the way that this thing happened, it came down so fast, a decision to spray for the first time in the world a section of Monterey County, one of the richest agricultural areas in the United States or in the world. They reminded us yesterday, and I forgot, I knew that this was the salad bowl of the world. It supplies 90 to 95% of the lettuce of the world. It supplies 80% of the cauliflower, about 80% of the artichokes, and there's large garlic and green onions also, but those grow, not the onions do other places, but not the garlic. It is a tremendous agricultural area, and even though you test a site that is 2 acres closed off and less than an acre, where the actual test site is going to be on strawberries, oh yeah, it supplies about 60 or 70% of strawberries of the world also. They don't go to this length to put millions of dollars and 11 years of work into testing a small half acre or so of spraying strawberries with live genetic bacteria to keep it at that length. It's to put on larger farms and larger areas and to spread. So a very controlled test in where an area means tomorrow the world. It's like you can make one LSD to see the effect on the brain, which Sandoz Lab and I.G. Farben did, and Alan Dulles distributed as part of the CIA work. But when he bought 43 million LSD, that was a different story. And we're still paying the price in this country with the zombies walking around who've been psychically injured by being given this poison made out of I.G. Farben's laboratory with the help of our intelligence director, who set up with OSS the I.G. Farben connections during and after the war, and probably long before also. So anyway, this hearing took place regarding these matters, and this very attentive person went quickly to the library and looked in the current Standard & Poor's. I have one of the earlier books, but this is the 1984-85, and they looked up Advanced Genetic Sciences Incorporated. And it was important to do that because my gut feeling about the way the operation came down was, and I said last week, that the group in the California area testing, AGS, has to be a dummy front for a larger operation, that it is the equivalent of the Mullen office at the time of Watergate that really represented the White House and the Central Intelligence Agency, that it was the little link that would do the testing if anything went wrong, but it had to have connection somewhere else, because you simply don't plunk your way down right into the heart of this rich, rich area and one of the wealthiest communities of Pebble Beach over the other side of the valley and this very prestigious area and put this live genetic bacteria there unless somebody has given orders and approval to do so. And the Board of Supervisors read in the newspaper it was taking place, and the health officers were told they wouldn't be able to know where it was taking place. So therefore, it was necessary to go to Standard & Poor's and look them up. Advanced Genetic Sciences Incorporated has an address in Greenwich, Connecticut. They didn't list the Berkeley address, even though they had a Berkeley laboratory, and all of the overt work that you see that's recognizable comes from offices in Berkeley, in Oakland, California, not in Berkeley. They're right next to each other. So Oakland, California is the home base of the Western Division, but for all purposes, the offices are in Connecticut, in Greenwich, Connecticut. Their attorney is on Lexington Boulevard in New York City. The main office is in Connecticut, but all of the work and the presentation of the people putting on their defense of wanting to do this comes out of Oakland, California. As a matter of fact, they had a two-page sheet. I wish I could copy it for all of you, a handout for people at the hearings, and it's titled, of course, Advanced Genetic Sciences Incorporated Sciences Fact Sheet, Release of Ice Minus Bacteria, Correcting the Fallacies. And there's no letterhead, there's no address, no doctors, no biologists, no PhDs to identify it with anybody, not a phone number or anything, just eight statements on the sheet that looked like they came out of the sixth grade meetings of a grammar school report. Very childish and simplistic, and the people they chose were just about the same. They'd be the spokesman for them. Now, Standard & Poor's lists their officers. Their chief financial officer, Mr. Thompson, the secretary, the accounts, and in New York City, Arthur Anderson is the accountant, and so forth, and their products, science products, agriculture, and industry. And they listed five directors. Now, I'm going to discuss two of the directors of Advanced Genetic Sciences with you, and more if I have time. The two are Lawrence Bogorod, and the other is R.E. Naylor. Now, in addition to that, this other person who was seeking material went quickly to an article that was in the New York Times. It came out in 1984, and I might have cited it last week by Judge. It was about Judge John Sirica turning down the application for this particular experiment a while back, and he found it looking under the index of this Advanced Genetic Sciences. It was listed in the New York Times index, and he located this interesting article that I just cited, May the 30th, 1984, in case you want to locate it yourself, page 5D. Advanced Genetic Chief sounds optimistic note. Thomas Dryote, Dyott, has already been offered a job as president and chief operating officer of Advanced Genetic Scientists. This is May 30th, 1984. He was offered this job. It said, when one of the company's major projects involving the first outdoor testing of genetically altered organisms was ordered halted by federal judge, District Judge John J. Sirica, 2 weeks ago, Mr. Dio, who is 36, took the job anyway. The federal judge said this is halted. But Dio wasn't worried, as the article says. I'm going to take it anyway. I'm coming to California anyway. I don't consider the decision a significant setback, he said in his interview, as he was appointed president of the company with their headquarters in Greenwich, Connecticut, and this turned us on to that avenue. It's pretty widely accepted that genetic engineering will eventually be a major factor in agriculture. People differ on what sort of time frame will be involved. We're going to do it, but you may stall us, but it's the time frame. The fact is it's going to happen. Mr. Dioat, former manager of exploratory agriculture products and research at Rohm & Haas, R-O-H-M and H-A-A-S company, owns 15% of Advanced Genetic Sciences, will officially assume office in the company's research facility in Berkeley, California, June the 1st. The offices of the company are in Oakland. The research testing is in Berkeley. Judge Sirica's decision in the form of a temporary restraining order stopped the proposed outdoor test in California by a Berkeley scientist, Stephen Lindau, who was there today testifying, of a genetically altered bacteria that inhibits frost from forming on potato plants. Now, that was 1984 in May, and it was potato plants. It became Strawberry Plants in November of 85, and in the interim, Judge John J. Sirica had conveniently died, and when they made the application for the test this time, it went through so quickly that the subject was brought up at the hearings. How could you apply for a test at a federal level and have it passed within a month when it takes about 9 months at the state level for approval of Environmental Protection Agency, the National Institute of Health, and you got in 1 month, and at the federal level it takes maybe a year or more to get an approval. They got it in a month. It went right through this time. As I say, the judge was dead. Mr. Diot wasn't there. I don't know if he's still with the company. And the crop now is strawberries. Then it was potatoes. And at the hearing, they said it was for fruit such as pears and apricots and peaches, which have nothing to do, of course, with spraying strawberries. But they decided on this area. And I think that's the main thing. And the bulk of 90-100% of the people doing this work are Mexicans brought in from Mexico. We bring them in and allow them to work, and under some terrible conditions, I might add. And I believe still that this is an experiment, and it was determined we'll do it here and nowhere else, not on the farmers, the white farmers up in Idaho or other places where there's a lot of frost, because this is the bulk and assured Mexican farmers that come in to do the work. The New York Times article continues beyond the potato farmers. It says, this may delay us a year or more, postponing any profits that advanced genetic science might earn. Science, I keep calling it scientists, on the commercial rights to the products developed through the project, which the company sponsored. Mr. Diot, a Rochester native who received his Ph.D. in chemistry from Princeton University, said that while there is a delay in testing, it would slow down the company's development plans. They still would explore genetic engineering, and they're going through with a project, a bacteria that would help form ice, another ice project, making artificial snow for ski resorts and so forth, so that this company has been doing that project. And that reminds me of the snowmobile and John DeLorean. But they didn't mind hiring a man with a Ph.D. in chemistry from Princeton University, employed by Rome and Haas, Rome and Haas having 15% interest in the company out in California, because even though the judge turned it down, pretty soon it would go through. As I say, the judge is dead, just coincidentally, of course, ha ha, you know how my mind works, and then they sneak this into Monterey County. Now, if you look up Standard & Poor's under Rome and Haas, you get a different view of advanced genetic science, because that's one of the largest major corporations in the United States, maybe in the world. Standard & Poor's has a section, Rome and Haas, and they list their assets as $1 billion plus, $1.5 billion, and their net worth into like $900 million and so forth, their liabilities $667 million. And then they list the officers on the board of directors, and I looked up in Who's Who, the various ones. I'm going to share some of those with you next week, because 15% of that whole company, they own 15% of the company out west. And then it lists their subsidiaries that are all over the United States, and their worldwide subsidiaries, international. There's the Electro Materials in Mamaroneck at New York, Fulane Products in San Fernando Road in Los Angeles, Isochem Products in Lincoln, Rhode Island, the Petar and Company, Wilmington, Delaware, Rome and Haas Advanced Materials, the Philadelphia. They have about six main offices in Philadelphia, LaPorte, Texas, Rome and Haas, California, and Hayward, California. That's right up your way on Whitesall Street. Rome and Haas, Connecticut, Kensington, Connecticut, Wilmington, Delaware, another in Bristol, Pennsylvania. Their international sales out of Wilmington, Delaware, Kentucky, and I could go on. Huge offices, Philadelphia, Knoxville, Tennessee, Deer Park, Texas, Woburn, Massachusetts, St. Mary, Florida. They pretty well cover the map, and the international could be every place on the globe that you want to say they do their dealing in chemistry work. Now, in the Standard & Poor's, the advanced genetic science is illicit science in Standard & Poor and in Million Dollar Directory. They're in both of those. As I say, their location is Connecticut. Their attorney is in New York. The offices are in Oakland on San Pablo Street. But when you call them up in Oakland, they say their offices are not in Connecticut any longer. I don't know when they closed shop. The director is D.D. Adams, listed in Standard & Poor's as chairman, executive officer. He's not listed in the index of corporate directors. Volume 2 has the directors of the corporations, and those mentioned in the brochure in the Standard & Poor section don't have the directors listed in the directors list. They are listed as a corporation with the directors in there, but in the index of Standard & Poor, the names are off. And when you study dummy fronts, and if you read the first article I ever wrote, Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped?, I go into the dummy front organizations that were a cover for this larger thing that came down at Watergate, and this, I believe, AGS is a cover for a larger operation. Now, the board members in Standard & Poor that were listed under the corporation, as I say, I want to discuss Lawrence Bogorod, director of AGS, and R.E. Naylor, who is the director of AGS. And when I looked up the directors in Who's Who, I found that Mr. Naylor is also on the board of directors of Roman Haas. He is vice president. So Roman Haas owns 15% of this company out here that's doing the genetic laboratory work. And one man in common, Mr. Naylor, is on the board of both. He's the vice president of Roman Haas, the larger corporation. In Who's Who in America, Robert Ernest Naylor Jr. is described, and I'm just going to run through this quickly. I think you'll get the idea without too much comment because I have a lot of material to cover. Bachelor of Science, University of California in Los Angeles, 1951. MA in Harvard, 1954. PhD at Harvard, 1956. He worked for DuPont Company in Wilmington, Delaware, under, in quotes, various positions in research and manufacturing. And you know DuPont is heavy into biological, chemical, and genetic-type research. They are notorious for their supporting Adolf Hitler, for their continuing processes along these lines of biological warfare. And he worked for them under, that quotes, various positions, which could be anything or traveling anywhere or checking on any experiments. Even the military experiments in Jonestown, where all the bodies were put in body bags and taken back to Delaware. He was director of research and planning at Corps for DuPont, 1956 to 76. He was technical director for Atomic Energy Division, 1979 to 1980. And I also heard stories. I think Mother Jones once published something about Joseph Mengele doing research, genetic experiments for the Atomic Energy Division. This was down in Tennessee. He was vice president of Roman Haas in Philadelphia since 1981. He's still there, and then he's described as director of AGS, Advanced Genetic Sciences. He's director of the Shipley Company in Newton, Massachusetts. When I looked that up in Standard & Poor's and in the other directories on corporations, Shipley isn't listed. I'll follow that for you next week. He's a Republican, and his offices are in Philadelphia, West Philadelphia, Independence Mall, Rome, and Haas. So Mr. Robert Ernest Naylor is, with his background at Harvard, DuPont, Atomic Energy, Roman Haas, is the bridge over to AGS that it wants to open up this great exploratory process. Now, Lawrence Bogorod is another member of AGS, besides the fellow from Princeton that I cited before, who was going to join the company as a chemist after it was turned down for approval by the federal government. That didn't stop him. Now I want to go on to Mr. Bogorod, who is not on the board of Roman Haas, but he is on the board of AGS. And I looked up in Who's Who information of Lawrence Bogorod. Again, he's not in the index of the Standard & Poor's directors. Neither of them are, although they index all the directors that they have cited in the corporations. They're not on the list of directors. Now, Lawrence Bogorod is on the board of AGS, and in one book, his wife, Anne, is on the directors also, but in another, in Who's Who, she isn't in the directors. She's listed as a director in the book Million Dollar Directory. She's part of AGS, and he's described as the following out of Who's Who. Biology educator, which he was, born in Tashkent, Russia, 1921, came to the United States in 1922. He was a year old I wonder if he traveled with Herbert Hoover's friends, if his parents were part of Vasilov's army, the Solidaris. I think of the white Russian czarist that left in 1922, carrying a baby, of course. He wasn't responsible for those political changes, but he was born in Russia and came to the United States. He got his bachelor's degree in Chicago in 1942, PhD in botany at the University of Chicago. 1949, he instructed there, 1948-51. He became assistant professor of the department, 1953-1957. Now, those years, 1951-1953, there's 2 years that are not accounted for. I always feel that some explanation should come, and it did come. Those 2 years, he worked for Merck Fellowship. Merck, the chemical company that eventually it became one of the huge, large medical firms, one of the largest in the world, in America, Merck. He worked for them for 2 years, 1951-53. Then from Merck, he went to Harvard University, and there's a whole clique. Roman Haas is practically all Harvard, although we have the one Princeton guy coming out to AGS. Professor 61-67, Cambridge Biology, taught Cambridge in Boston at Harvard U. In 1974-1976, he was part of the Maria Moores Cabot Foundation, the professor of biology. The Cabots, of course, part of the multi-Cabot link. You can think of Henry Cabot Lodge and Richard Nixon running as president, vice president against John Kennedy. Otto von Bolschering worked for the Cabot Company. That was his cover when he was part of the International Nazi Odessa Network for Reinhard Galen and John Paul Getty, and made him president of TCI in California. The Cabots in the that area in Boston, Massachusetts, and Cambridge were notorious for fronts and funding of this particular kind of operation and cover, particularly for Otto von Bolschwing and his international network of Nazis. He worked there under the Maria Moores Cabot Professorship, it was titled, in Boston. And then in 1976, he became a director of the Cabot Foundation in Cambridge, Massachusetts. In 1951-53, he was a visiting investigator for the Rockefeller Institute from 1951-53. While he was a visiting investigator for the Rockefeller Institute, he was working for the Merck Fellowship, and so he was going back and forth between the Rockefeller Medical Foundation, the one that I cited 2 or 3 years ago for doing experimental work on cancer, locating the cancer virus way back in those days. Then he went on from 1978-82 to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Now I'm citing a member of the board of directors of a company that got an instant approval for releasing the first genetically mutated bacteria, living bacteria, on agriculture in the Monterey County. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, he was part of the Joint Council on Agriculture and Food and Agriculture and Science Department from 1978-1982, and he wrote and edited various books through these years on plant physiology, applied molecular genetics. He served in the service from 1943-46 and was a Fulbright Scholar in 1960, that interim between being assistant professor of botany in Chicago and then going to Harvard. And his current office is the Department of Biology, Harvard University, 16 Divinity Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, you know, you don't really see Mr. Bogorod or Mr. Naylor's name in the news identified with this company out in California. And I understand that Rome and Haas had about $4 or $5 million into the company until 1984. And then there's no statistics of their pulling it out or putting it in. That's the privacy of the company, and we haven't seen that. It isn't available, or at least I haven't seen it. And I took the board of directors of Roman Haas, and I outlined the various characters in the colleges they came from, the ones that were in Who's Who. Those are the only ones we can know about, and I'm going to share some of those with you next week because they're very important. Now, currently in the news are many articles about genetics and science and the Environmental Protection Agency, the agency that gave the go-ahead on this with a known uncertainty. You can't prove an unknown, but there are these uncertainties, and there were appeals at the hearing from the public after the staff presentation gave their explanation of what they were going to do. Public officials spoke, public agencies spoke, and then the Foundation on Economic Trends, a representative for Jeremy Rifkin from Washington, was out here and gave probably the weakest presentation on why to stop it. And then from the audience, people were allowed to get up, and they had to ask what question they were going to ask. And I wanted to ask about Roman Haas and the relationship between a billion-dollar chemical group that has obviously contracts for the Defense Department, for the intelligence community. We have a budget of $400 million that Ronald Reagan escalated in the past year for chemical and biological warfare. And then the expressed statement, these people said that it could be hazardous to some people who are sick or who have cancer, who live nearby. They asked, this was supposed to be in an area that wasn't populated. That was one of the conditions of the spraying. And they said, the report said there were two homes nearby, and the Environmental Protection Agency chief came from Sacramento, and it wasn't a testifying, he just spoke, it was not under oath or anything. He said he gave approval without even visiting or knowing where the site was, and they said, were you aware that there was a population of 30,000? And he wasn't aware of that at all. And they asked him, well, what about these people that this particular Pseudomonas fluorescens could damage and who have cancer? They said, well, they would be so far gone, they would pick that disease up in a hospital. They wouldn't even be home. To affect people, they'd have to be so sick that they wouldn't even be in their homes. You wouldn't be caring for them. There was no scientific facts or data on any of this, but a lot of generalities. So I got up and was allowed to speak, and Sam Karras is the main spokesman for the Board of Supervisors, the chairman. And I've known Sam Karras for 20 years, and when I get to newsletter and I'm not on the air, I can tell you about some of these people for those of you that take a newsletter by tape. I can't put this on the air, but I can tell you individually and personally on the telephone what I've known about Sam Karras for the past 20 years. So he began his opening up remarks by saying, we're not going to have any witch hunts today. We said hello when I came in, and he knew that what Mae Bressel does is witch hunts, like Watergate, looking for Mullen associates or calling Bernard Fensterwald, who represented James McCord that broke that case open. Those are witch hunts, I want you to know. And I wrote down that I wanted to ask about Roman Haas. And he had to call, he had to let me call. But when I suggested that there could be biological chemical warfare being tested in this area, and I mentioned the contracts of the Defense Department for these things and the links of Roman Haas to the Defense Department and to those experiments and their involvement with this company that we were there to talk about, he said, I want to make it certain nobody is to talk about the Defense Department. I couldn't bring that up, even though the papers are flooded with material of this kind of testing. And I handed out handbills, a couple of hundred of them, titled, Is Monterey County Being Used for Tests That Are Being Conducted for Possible Use in Biological Warfare? And the second sentence, Is Monterey County Being Part of an AIDS Research Project Testing the Effect of Genetically Altered Engineered Bacteria on People Who Have Cancer, a Weak Immune System, or Other Sick Individuals? And cited their quotation that this bacteria could affect people who might be marginally pathogenic, in poor health, or weak immune systems. Under certain conditions, the Pseudomonas fluorescens develops infection in cancer patients or other weak individuals. Monterey Herald, January 15, 1986. Well, and also, I had a printout from the Higher Form of Killing that I've shared with you on the intent of Army biological warfare to create a disease that would defy any cure, that the immunological and therapeutic processes would be broken down, and nobody could intervene for this type of disease. But there was a direct connection between the corporation that was there, and they had this mousy woman, a doctor, who spoke in a little voice. She just gave her little presentation. This is a very innocent kind of thing that you've blown up. Our intentions are to save life, save agriculture. And you wouldn't know that the Harvard professors and the Princeton professor and the vice president of Roman Haas was on the board of directors of AGS. To see these people They look like not even mad scientists with any degrees or presentations of any kind. They look like four little mice that crawled out of a cupboard, which is exactly what these dummy front organizations are. They're people that may not even know who the presidents and vice presidents. They may never even heard of Mr. Naylor when I talked about him, but Mr. Sam Karras wouldn't allow me to continue. I'll share some more of this with you next week, and thanks a lot for getting the articles and information and helping me do some of the research, those of you that did, on Roman Haas and advanced genetic science. I'll be back. This is Mae Brussel. I'll be back with you next week, and take care, and keep well and healthy if you can, and have some fun in the meantime. Bye-bye.